then the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to lead us. He begins to prompt us to the Word, and I mean, he begins to try to dictate our life, you know, yielding to the Spirit of God brings the fruit of God. Let's turn, give me that Romans 8, Travis, 5, I believe it is. Let's just go read it. For they that are after the flesh do mind the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. He's talking about mindset here, really, you know. For those that yield to the flesh, or yielding constantly to the flesh, that's what he's talking about. You know, in the mind, I was thinking about it today. I was thinking how the mind is a battlefield, you know, especially if you're not acquainted with the Word of God that much or whatever. Your mind, the Bible goes, we'll read it in a minute, it says it's an enemy to God. It's an enemy to the laws of God, the things of God. See, we're not under the law. The law leads us to Christ, actually. The Word, you know, leads us to the Lord, you know, and then we're under the Spirit of God in grace, and we do everything by faith. And these things, not yielding to the flesh, it's hard to do if we're not yielding to the Holy Spirit. You just let the flesh run wild and it's liable to do anything. I mean, it's capable of anything, you know. I mean, and if we don't yield to the Spirit of God, our flesh will even lead us into debt. I mean, to be satisfied, you know, lead us in things, just the flesh gets wild. I know, I've seen it myself, wanting this, wanting that, you know, thinking this would give me joy and all that, get it and not. And then the next time I'd be like, nah, I'm not going to yield to the flesh. I'm going to make sure the Holy Spirit is leading me in these things so that I'm not, but anyhow, let's read it. For they that are after the flesh do mind, they put their mind on the things of the flesh. They set their mind on carnal things all the time, you know, just, you know. Did you know a job can be an idol? I mean, I'm here and I'm trying to keep my mind, and I'm my thoughts are going to work, and I said out loud, I said, shut up. I said, I'm not thinking about work tomorrow. I'm here, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to keep my mind on the things of God. But it don't have to be bad things. You know, Satan just wants our mind occupied with things down here, just things, carnal things, troubles, or you know, all we got to do, or all we're having to go through, or the heat, you know. I'm saying myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know. Well, the Holy Spirit's here. See, Paul realized, well, let's read on. I'm getting ahead of myself. The things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, those that are yielding to the Spirit of God. The Word of God will make it easier to yield to the Spirit. Just like he says, be angry and sin not. Well, when I start to get angry, then the Holy Spirit will bring that. That's the Spirit of God. Now I've got to yield to the Spirit. I've got to yield myself to it, you know, because the flesh brings corruption. It brings bad things into our life, praise God. For to be carnally minded is death. Right here he says it. To have our mind on carnal things all the time, or just natural, you know, not ever on the Lord, acknowledging the Lord, talking to the Lord, praying, fasting, you know, caught up in life, troubles. I was just thinking about a lot of my family members have got on older, you know, and a lot of them's having a lot of issues, you know, in their body and all of that. And I'm saying it out of my mouth. I'm saying, not me, praise God, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to let my mind go on that, on what I see in the natural. Heaven knows the Bible says, while we look not at the things, we don't focus on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So peace and joy, and we'll get to the Holy Spirit produces here in just a few minutes. But we must always try to yield to the inner man. Even on jobs, when I'm pricing jobs, I look on the inside. I acknowledge the Lord. You know, I mean, I know the world's got competition. Somebody told me here a while back, said, well, there's a door company up there, and I told them, I said, I don't have any competition. I'm not focused on this natural realm. I'm focused on heavenly things, the blessing of the Lord. The blessing gives me the jobs that I need. See what I'm saying? So I'm not going to get in that. The Bible says don't be carnal-minded. That's carnally-minded. Well, if Christ, if he's my source and Jesus is my Lord, then I'm going to yield to that. I'm going to yield to, and it brings peace. How many knows the mind stayed on the Lord will bring peace and life and joy, the Bible says. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. And just like a perfect example where I understand more is I was reading the Bible one evening, and it said, love your enemies. And I had a lot of hatred. Some people don't never have that problem, you know, or whatever, but I had hatred toward people, you know. And so I didn't get the Bible, and I said, I don't like that. See, what was happening? What was happening, life was meeting death. Life was meeting death at that choice right there that I had to make. And so I just shut that Bible, and I thought, I don't like that. I just don't like that. You know, that I thought that shouldn't be in there, especially Jesus saying it. He knows what I've been through, you know. Like that, you know, well, then God spoke to me about that. He said, the word is not to destroy you. The word, if you will embrace it, will set you free. Now, we're going to the Bible says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, and so I had a choice. See, Jesus ain't going to zap me and make me yield. I mean, the Holy Spirit, if I want to just continually get angry, now I'm being carnally minded. I'm going after the flesh man. I'm yielding to the flesh man. The Holy Spirit will just back off. But if I'm going to yield, and you know, I mean, you don't have any excuses to hold on to grudges and have anger towards anybody, because, I mean, in the natural, it seems that we have a right because maybe they've did us wrong, or you know, or what have you. But in love, the love of God, it constrains us from doing that if we're yielding to it. But if we're yielding to the flesh man, I'm telling you right now, I was about the angriest little person, you know, back, looking back on it, that I could even think about on this planet. I mean, I was angry, and you know, and it made my life miserable. But you know, when I got born again, I give my heart to the Lord. Lord came in. I mean, I actually sobbed for 4 hours. I was wet down to my knees from a cleansing was taking place. I was at work milking cows, and I mean, I'm just, you know, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? You know, but it felt good. It just felt good. Well, that's what Paul was talking about. He said, I follow after that I have been apprehended of. See, we've been apprehended by the Spirit of God. And all of his ways are love, you know. And the Holy Spirit brings these fruits in our life if we yield. Some people just will not yield. Unfaithful people to the Lord. They won't yield to faithfulness. They won't make up their mind. That's yielding to the flesh man. You know, and I've heard every excuse, I guess, under the sun. I've had people say, well, I had to work all day. Well, we all did. You know, well, I was really, really tired. Well, we understand everybody's worked and tired, you know. But some people, they don't yield to that the way they feel. They just don't. They yield to the Holy Spirit, and they say, God, you will empower me. Now you're spiritually minded. You will give me grace. You will strengthen me. And you know, I believe that kind of person will experience supernatural strength. Maybe they don't even realize it. You know, lady told me one time, because I've always had a lot going on in ministry ever since I've been born again and work full time, you know. And I had a lady one time, she said, I don't really know how you do all that you do, and do ministry and all that, and work and all that. And I said, it's by God's grace. I said, God's grace empowers me. God's grace gives me a supernatural ability. That's why I used to say we're aliens, you know. Like ET, man, we're aliens. Well, the Bible calls us aliens. You know, our citizenship is in heaven. Earth is not our home. But if we got to yield to that, and my pastor said it one time, he said, you got to have faith in the seed in you. He was talking about Jesus. And so I turned my focus to the Lord on the inside, to the point to where I prayed in the mornings. I know it sounds stupid, but I would pray before work, and I would talk to God and everything, you know, and then I would get up and I'd say, Lord, I'll see you when I get home. Because I didn't have the concept that he's in me, he's going with me, he'll never leave me, never forsake me. I didn't have that concept. And one morning, I got up, I set my clock, and I got up early to start spending time with the Lord, because they preached it at church. They said, if you don't have time, set your clock 5 or 10 minutes early from the time you have to go to work and spend some time with the Lord. If it's, you know what I'm thinking, 5 or 10 minutes. But you know, 5 or 10 minutes is a lot. You're spending time, you're talking to the Lord. And so anyhow, I was doing that. And because I started doing that, I stood up that morning, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, take me with you. Take me with you. I thought, go to work with me, man. God's going to go to work with me today. You know, he's been working with me every day. He was there anyways. But I didn't have knowledge, but the Holy Spirit brought it. And you know what it done? That changed my life. That changed the way I thought. That changed the way that started changing on the inside. Everything about me started changing, because I come to the knowledge that the Holy Spirit was in me, and that God was with me by the Spirit of God. And I mean, it changed the way I thought. It changed the way I would read the Bible. You know, and it says, let a man work with his hands that he have to give to them that need. You know, so I quit working then for a living. See, it don't make no sense to the mind, because I'm thinking, I got to pay the light bill. Man, I mean, we're struggling. We ain't got no money. I can't afford to give to everybody. Our mind, see, it says the carnal mind is an enemy to God. I mean, it can't understand the supernatural things of God. That's why the mind has to be renewed to the Word of God, and put on the mind of Christ, put on the way God, the way Jesus. Jesus just saw the 5,000, and you know, and he didn't say, okay, guys, you know, we've come to the end of our rope here. The disciple says, we need to send them home to buy something. And Jesus said, Jesus took the fish. He was showing the supernatural here. Jesus didn't think the way they thought. I know it was Jesus, but he's coming in us. He was setting them up, preaching and showing them an example. And then he said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And he told one of them, he said, after Peter, I believe it was, after you're converted, go strengthen your brethren. And so after they were born again, then they thought about all that. The Holy Spirit brought it back. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He's talking to us. He didn't leave us. He wooed us in until we got born again, whether it was on a school bus or revival or altar call here or out in the pasture or wherever it's at, that somebody kneels down. God orchestrates that kind of stuff. And God saves them, you know. And then people, they'll say, well, you know, you got to go to a good old-fashioned altar. They were born again in an altar. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, you got to open up to God. You know, you can be on the riverbank. You can be in your living room. You can be stoned. You can be drunk. I know religion don't teach that kind of stuff. He didn't come to save them. It's okay. Right? He shows up in the bars. He shows up where they're partying. I mean, Bradley backslid and got right with the Lord. Lord visited him in the back of the car. I was stoned in my shed, backslid on the Lord, and he showed up. Teresa was doing drugs. He showed up. See, we got to not limit the Holy Spirit, see? I mean, the altar's good, but it's not that wooden bench right there. Whenever somebody goes to their knees here, it's their heart getting down to where God is, you know, in their heart, just humbling herself before the Lord. It's not necessarily that altar. It can be done at the, I've done it at the front pew before, you know, just yielded things to the Lord and been changed. There's not just one way God works. God knows how each one of us are geared, have been raised, thinking patterns and all of that. But this word right here puts every one of us on the same playing field in the spirit realm if we renew our mind to it. I mean, I believe that I had an anger problem because my mama was three-quarter Indian, Cherokee Indian. That's what I was told. You know, you got a bad temper and your brothers got a bad temper because y'all were a lot Indian. You know, so I believed that for a long time. But one day, you know, I got mad and I beat the porch off after I saved, and I'm going to the jails and everything. That's why I know that if you yield to your carnal man, you yield to thinking of anger and all of that, you will go do some crazy stuff. But, you know, I mean, I beat my porch down and all that. I was mad at Teresa, and I thought to myself, I'm still here. She better know that I'm here. That old man was there. She comes out there, fine preacher you are, preacher man. Beat the porch off. Took me 2 years to save the stuff to do that, Johnny. It took me about 5 minutes. It felt good to the flesh. That flesh just felt good. Till I looked, and there I'd done tore up 2 years of savings. And I thought, man, that yielding to the flesh don't do nothing but destroy it. It destroys things, hallelujah. And so I made up my mind. I thought, man, you know, I was thinking, well, it's just because I'm Indian. I'm like my mama. You know, I'm like my mama. And the Lord told me one day, he said, what about the Holy Spirit? What about your Father? Right? Father God, the Holy Spirit. He said, you've got a new nature. He said, you're not the same person anymore. How many know the Bible says the old things pass away and all things become new and all things are of God, see? And the Spirit of God comes in to set us free and separate us from that death life, separate us from that down life, from that condemned life, from that sin life. He comes to separate us by the Spirit of God. But Paul told him, he said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put it down. You put it down. Mortify the deeds of flesh through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. See, we got to understand that we're not on our own. We are empowered from on high when we yield to what the Word says. Love. Love our enemies. And you know what? I mean, that's one of the major things that I experienced that I guess it's one of the most, you know, move of God things in me is I was able to love them that I hated. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand how that I was able to start loving people that I hated. See, you don't have to understand. The Bible says, lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge the Word. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and He will direct our paths. But you know what? The main thing I brought that up is because I experienced a freedom in that by me yielding to the Word, by me yielding. Somebody say yielding. You yield to the things of the Spirit. Mindful of the things of the Spirit. And once I did that, it wasn't like instant. See, the working of the Holy Spirit is most of the time is just a gradual working in our life, bringing out the nature of God in us. Not just a one-time thing, whoo, I didn't get angry. No, before you know it, you can't make you angry. By yielding to love, by yielding to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? He'll tell us, forgive. I mean, you know, I got a little upset at Teresa here a while back, and the Lord said, ask her to go tell her you're sorry. Now, when God first told me that, I thought, I will never tell that woman I'm sorry. She'll take advantage of that. She'll take advantage of me, you know, like I'm some little weakling. Because in my mind, I thought, I'm 5'6", but I'm her man. I take care of business and stuff, you know. And I'm thinking, if I do that, then she's going to think I'm a little weeny now. But you know what? The Holy Spirit kept on. Go tell her you're sorry. Tell her you're sorry. And you know what? I had to yield to that. Once I yielded to that, I walked up there, and I mean, it was hard to get those words out. I just want to say, you know. But when I let it, I'm telling you, it was like easy off oven cleaner on the inside of me. It was like Teresa's cleaning that oven, you know, spray that stuff in there and let it set for a while, and it eats all that junk. Boy, when you wipe it, it's just clean and it's pretty. That's the way I felt. That's the way I felt on the inside. Just by doing, what was I doing? Yielding to the Spirit. I was yielding to the Holy Spirit, and it brings life and peace, the Bible says right there. It says it brings life and peace. Now, I don't have any problem when I'm not in the flesh. The Bible says I'm not in the flesh of Christ being me. I have to yield to the flesh. I have to yield to carnality, praise God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is the enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Go ahead, son. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, that's not pleasing to the Lord. Yielding to that flesh all the time, all the time. You know, when I understand, you know, challenges come. Challenge, just like, I mean, I do work for people, you know, and they try to take advantage. And I have this mindset. I have this mindset, you can't take advantage of me. I get it. See, that's not being carnally minded. See, people say, do to others before they do to you. That's not by Bible. I've heard Christians say it. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, even if they do you wrong. You're yielding to the Spirit of God, and God repays. God takes care of you. God brings increase to you. Not only that, the way you feel on the inside, you feel victorious. You feel like, glory to God, you just can't take me down with this junk. You just can't do it, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. That's why we need Him in our marriages. We need the women seeking God. We need the men seeking God, praying and fasting. You know, I realize that Satan has a plan against each one of our lives. And he's not really in a hurry. He tries little by little to get us not to acknowledge God, not to yield to the Spirit of God. Because the more that we yield to the Spirit of God, the stronger we get spiritually. The more we get built up in Him, the more that we get rooted in faith. Because to yield to the Spirit of God takes faith. I mean, it's actually faith in action. You know, it's faith in action. And every time we exercise faith, we get stronger. You get stronger. It gets rooted and grounded. You know, and that's why, you know, I really enjoy the Word of God. I don't like all the Word of God. I mean, some of it's still against me. But you know what? Just because my flesh don't like it don't mean I'm not going to put it in and say it and confess it, because that flesh comes under subjection of your spirit when you dominate it. Well, we can dominate the flesh. Romans over there says, I mean, I hear Christians a lot have over the years, you know, well, you know, we're just old sinners saved by grace, you know, and I mean, we're going to sin every day, you know, we just... You know, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion over us. The Bible says that. Well, if I believe what the world's saying, I believe what experience is. They're saying it because they can't seem to get free in areas, so just settle down in it and just realize, you know, we're just flesh people, and that's just the way it is. But no, the Bible says for us to think like He thinks. And Paul says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over me. And I've heard people say it, and I'm like, nah, we're not old sinners saved by grace. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that I'm still an old sinner saved by grace. Nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says that the old man passed away, and all things become new, and all things are of God. Now, I used to be a sinner. Yes, I am saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. But I am not a sinner anymore. Now, I can sin. That don't mean that I'm perfect. But you know what? We can continually work on it until we're not sinning. We don't have to. Don't ever believe a lie. That's just a lie of the enemy. That's like him saying, he sent Moses in there, and he said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And so then he goes in there, and he said, well, you can go, but leave the kids. Why? Why would he say that? Because you're coming back. You can go. You can go and they can go, but leave the horses. Leave your stuff. Well, he didn't want them free. That's the way Satan is. Well, you can go so far, but as far as you can go with God. No, it ain't. We can go deep as we want to go with God. He's a liar. All we got to do is yield to the Holy Spirit, and he'll lead us deeper and deeper and deeper in love with God, in love with the things of God, in love with the attributes of God, and in love with the way he does us and for us and in us and through us. I'm not through prospering. I'm going to prosper spirit. The Bible says that we can prosper spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually, bodily. You know, I was thinking about it today, and I told one of my sisters, you know, talking about, you know, she's 72 years old, and I just moved and heard, and one of them wants them to have open heart surgery, and one of them said you need to have open heart surgery, but then he said, well, we can't do it, you can't take it, you know, or whatever, and waited until she got done, you know, and I said, yeah, but we got the word. Yeah, but we got the word. I don't care if you are 72 or 100. She said, well, I said, look, you promised 120 years in the Bible. You ain't got time for this. Well, you got to get that mindset. Well, I'm believing God. I say it every day, every day, every day. Well, get up and do something about it. Get out and drive. He didn't say we lay down on the couch by faith. He said, we walk by faith. He said, we'll run and not be weary. He said, those that wait on the Lord. Wait. The word wait in Isaiah 40:31, the word wait there means to be twisted together, means to be one with him. The Holy Spirit says at the pool of Bethesda, you know, and ain't nobody there to put me in. Ain't nobody there to, well, crawl over there. Roll over there. Get a rope. Let somebody drag you in the pool. Do something about it. And Lord, ain't nobody here to put me in the pool. Well, that's not faith. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. That was the Holy Spirit leading her out of that room, out into danger. She could have been stoned to death, out into danger, the Holy Spirit leading her to her healing. He's the same today. He's the same today. I was thinking about it today when I started thinking, pondering down these lines, you know. I thought, Lord, the number one way that you changed my life after Jesus come in is you had me meditating on your word. I read that in Joshua 1:8 over there where he says, meditate day and night on the word. He told Joshua, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. And the Lord spoke to me while I was reading that, been saved about 8 months. He made it real to me. It didn't say in there that God will make. I'll make you prosperous. Oh, God was already with. God's already with us. He's in us. But you know, that stuck out. And God spoke to me. He said, I've already prospered you in the spirit realm. I've already gave you everything that pertains to life and godliness. The Holy Spirit started preaching the word to me. Good thing I knew the word. It's good to know the word, you know. Not just to know it, not to know it religiously. Like I've read my chapter and I got my points in with God. You know, that's really the wrong way to approach that. You know, I'm gonna eat your word, God. I'm gonna eat your word. Your word's healing to all of my flesh, God. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path, God. It's not to get me any points. It's to get me on the road to prosperity. Hallelujah. In my marriage with my son, with you know, y'all guys. But give me that Galatians 5:22, son. No, hold on, I'm not done. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God, that's why I said, dwell in you. That's why I said a while ago, you know, I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. I'm born again. The spirit of God dwells in me. Now I can yield to the flesh. You got to yield to the flesh. Once you're born again, you are in Christ Jesus. Your life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. And everything that I do from then on is because I want to, good or bad. Because the Bible says that sin has no dominion over me. Well, what are you calling sin? The Bible says, if a man know to do right and do it not, it's sin to him. That's what it says. You know? So if I know to love my enemies and I won't work on it, it's sin. If I know that I'm not supposed to hold grudges against people because they did me wrong, then that's sin. If I hold on to it. If I know I'm supposed to go to the house of the Lord and I can, because the Bible says and the Holy Spirit is reminding me, you know, and I can, then it's sin to me. Hallelujah. If I know it's the will of God for me to pastor this church and I can quit anytime I want to, it's sin. I'll just bring it down. I mean, whatever we can't do in faith is sin. Now, I know that covers a lot of issues right there, but we're okay. He's got grace and mercy and long-suffering toward us, right? And the Holy Spirit's helping us. And the more we yield to the Holy Spirit, the more that we'll have victory in areas of our life that we didn't used to have it in. Because the working of God is not zap one time and I'm looking for a reason to take you out if you don't just walk the chalk line. That's not the way God is. God would rather gradually build up his life in us to where we're walking like Jesus and Paul and all of those, you know. He even went on, let's read a little more. It says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." We've been made the righteousness of God now. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." And he's not just, he's talking about a lot of things there. He can give you natural strength. I mean, he can give you physical strength. He'll give you strength to yield to the Holy Spirit, the anointing. We have the power to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now give me the Galatians 5, Travis. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith." We're living in a time where these have to be brought forth by the Holy Spirit. These right here, it says, "But the fruit," the word fruit means the proof, the bringing forth of the Holy Spirit is joy. See, and you know what I find? I mean, when just like the incidents I was telling you about, trying to get my mind on jobs tomorrow. Because, I mean, I've got a bumper crop coming in Friday and got loads of doors up yonder at that other. I mean, just your door. I mean, they're getting prices in order, and it's just a non-ending. I mean, you know. And so my mind was trying to be on that, but it was causing turmoil. And all of a sudden, I cast those thoughts down. I said, I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not going to have my mind on these carnal things. I've got my mind on the things of the Lord. And you know what it done? Joy came to me right out there over that one little incident. Joy and peace. And you know what? Long-suffering. That means putting up with people a long time. Long-suffering. Had somebody call me. Teresa was in the shower and wanting to talk to Teresa. I said, "Well, she's in the shower." And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm fixing to get in the shower." When she gets out of the shower, going to church. He said, "Okay, well, tell her to call me now when she gets out of the shower." I said, "Okay." 4 minutes went by. Four. I looked at my clock. Four. The phone rung again, and it was the same person. And I said, "Hello? Is she still in the shower?" And I said, "Well, yeah, she just got in there when you called." I said, "She ain't got out of the shower yet." He said, "Lord Jesus." He said, "I can't help it, man. I just ain't got no patience. I ain't got no patience." I said, "Well, I'll make sure to don't forget to tell her now." hung it up, you know. And I thought, you know what, Lord? Patience is one of the attributes. Let the God of patience. You know, that's one of the things. Patience really is steadfastness. In all of these fruits of the Spirit right here that He's been producing in each one of our lives as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He's building us up to where we can endure. We can endure hardship. We can endure people doing us wrong. Listen, this world is more messed up right now than I've ever seen it in my 55 years of living here. But that's okay. It's all in the Bible. The Bible says in Isaiah over there, it says, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. He says, but arise and shine for the glory of the Lord. And there He is, the fruits of the Spirit of God. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And He goes on and said, they're going to run to us. They're going to come to the church. They're going to come to us Christians because of the hardship that's in this world right now. They're going to need people that has long-suffering, gentle, that is gentle. We got to be gentle. Now, we can't do this on our own, but we got this is the attributes of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to learn more gentle. I'm having to learn how to be more gentle with Teresa. I mean, she helps me. And she knows it. She told me the other day, don't you want to get upset? I get to watch TV and you don't talk. She'd want me upset. Get upset because I go to shutting up, you know. I get upset, I just shut up. Why? The Bible says a wise man has a big loud mouth. Few words. It says a wise man has few words, and the Holy Spirit will help me in that if I will keep my mouth shut. You heard that saying out there in the world, me and my big mouth? Shouldn't be saying in the church, it's just me and my big mouth. We need that scripture, meditate on that scripture where it says, a wise man has few words. Few words. You know, if you don't stop a dam up, it'll just cut a hole bigger and it'll drain the whole lake. Did you know words sometimes, I mean, I've been up spiritually and let words start out of my mouth and just sin right behind it. Just get started and let it roll. Just let it roll. And, you know, and get done and feel like I've been emptied out. Just empty of God. With my mouth. Feel like I'm backslid. I feel like, good Lord, it'll take me a month to get that back that I just emptied out of me. I've heard a sermon one time, it says we're leaky vessels. You know, you got to be putting in because of. And I believe it. I believe we got to be continually yielding to the Holy Spirit because this world is messed up. And we're going to have kids come in here that, I mean, they're going to talk back there and, I mean, going to get on your last ever living nerve. And we're here to deliver them. Told Travis one time, I said, if your kids mind, then, you know, I know they can get on your nerves now. But I said, if we got the kids disciplined in the church, I said, then when those come in, I said, that are not disciplined and their parents and all of that, I said, they'll have examples before them. You know, you don't let them run around. I didn't, Travis. You know, I didn't. I thought, there's not going to be like the rest of these kids in here running around. Yeah, they're just kids. Yes, they're kids, but they need to learn the ways of God and to respect the house of God and the things of God. And if we have our kids that way in the house of God, then when they come out of the world, we won't get so upset with them, praise God. We know the process we went to get our kids in subjection to us and God, and the other kids will see the example, and I've seen it. And before you know it, somebody, the kids be over there and one of the adults go, shh. They'll be like, kind of reminds me of, kind of like Jeffrey's little boy, Weston. They go and play baseball. Sign him up for baseball. He goes over there and they telling him what to do. And so he gets back, I reckon, and told him, like, he didn't go to play baseball to be told what to do. They're showing him how to, what he's supposed to be doing, you know. He wanted to have fun, Johnny. I'm going over there for them to tell me, stand right here, wait right here, you're going to play this and that. He didn't go over there to get told what to do, he says. Praise God. But you know what? He played baseball. And he finally fell in with the players there. I guess he did, didn't he? Yeah, he finally got settled. Why? He went over there and had an example before him. That's just in the natural. How much more with the supernatural power of God in our lives, in our kids at home? Listen, I backslid on the Lord. I walked away from the Lord. Didn't backslide. I turned away from God. You don't just backslide overnight. You stop praying and fasting and seeking the Lord and reading the Bible, meditating on it, let the world get in, you know, and all the wrong thinking get in. And, you know, I'm in my living room, you know, and me and Teresa, we couldn't get along at all without God. We wouldn't. If both of us backslid, I guarantee you, we wouldn't last a year. Me and her really know it, that God is the reason that we have the life that we have. We realize it. But anyways, we backslid, and Travis come through there, and he says, why can't we just be normal? And he run into his bedroom and shut the door. And you know what? That touched my heart. That touched me. I thought, man, he don't know what it is without God. Now I've got his life in chaos over not serving Jesus. Not going to church anymore. Not praying. You know, start that anger rising. That old man will rise back up without the Holy Spirit, that old man will rise up. And I appreciate that testimony, Jeffrey. He's a fine young man. He really is. You know, I appreciate that. I appreciate him. I appreciate him going on with God and doing what he heard the Holy Spirit saying even at a young age and kept him from a lot of stuff. God's kept him, and he knows that he testified of it. You know, the Holy Spirit helped him and walked him through and kept him. We're kept by the power of God, the Bible says. Kept by the power of God, if we're yielding. But you know, if we're not yielding, we can't be kept by him. He can't keep something that won't yield. Because, I mean, we got to yield to him. You know, young teenagers and stuff, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Don't just go to the clique and try to fit in. You get satisfied in God with who you are and on the inside, and then it really won't matter to you on the outside. Because you're accepted in the beloved. And then when you're challenged with peers and life, and it happens up here even in adults. We don't have no cliques too much in this church. You know, because I don't preach cliques. I don't click with Johnny and don't click with y'all. I ain't gonna click. I'm not a clicker. I'm gonna click with everybody. I'm gonna click with the Lord, and then I fit in with everybody. You know, I mean, you know, you don't have to be a people pleaser. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. That means on the inside, the way you are on the inside. You come to my house, somebody come to my house one time, I really don't like that lighthouse stuff in your bathroom. I'd like, well, you don't live here. Just go use the bathroom, flush it, and come on out. You don't have to like my lighthouse stuff. Right? I mean, I've had people, you shouldn't dress like that. And go to church. Well, this ain't your church. I asked the Lord if it's okay to dress like this. And if he's satisfied, then, you know, you've got a problem. Go tell the boss. Tell the boss your problem. I'm telling the Lord on Teresa one time. See, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. I'm telling God all of Teresa's problems, why I can't preach and why I'm not anointed, why I can't go to work with joy and all of that. And when I got done telling him all of the things that I wanted Teresa to be changed in, he spoke to me and he said, son, it's not her, it's you. And I thought, he don't live with it. He said, it's not her, it's you. In other words, what God was telling me is that I am your Savior. I am your God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You can have all these no matter what's going on in your house, no matter what goes on with Teresa. And if I don't yield, I'm telling you, or she don't yield, I'm telling you right now, the fruits of the Spirit work wherever we are, in every situation that we ever get into. These are the fruit the Holy Spirit will produce if we continue to yield to the Holy Spirit. I mean, I have opportunity. I mean, these truck drivers think they're the only ones out on the road, I reckon. I'm not down in truck drivers. We all drive. Right? I drive every day. I go across counties from one county to another county and loaded with scissor lifts and all kinds of stuff all the time. And yes, people are crazy out there. Yes, they run in 100 mile an hour and it's 50 mile an hour. So yes, they pull right on out in front of you. But you know what? Joy and peace can be with me if I just mind my own business. If I just there, praise God, and just say, I'm not going to get bent out of shape over this. Make a choice to yield to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I believe I would be divorced today 100,000 times since I've been born again if I didn't choose to yield to the Holy Spirit. I believe that I would have been gone and messed up my life and everything else a long time ago if I had not learned to yield to the Holy Spirit, yield to love. The Bible says, prefer others before yourself. Got up one morning, I'd read the scriptures in there where it says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. I'd read that, and I'm trying to figure out how to do it, Johnny. I'm like, that's deep, Lord. I mean, Jesus went to the cross for the church. You know, he went to the cross, man. This is deep. You know, and I thought, how can I do it? I can't go to the cross. She wouldn't have me and all that. You know, and I got up, and I was going to work, and she never had to work a public job. She has had public jobs, but you know, she's not supposed to work a public job. Need to be led to the Lord in that. Anyways, there was one left. Sweet cat, whatever it was, and I went to reach up in the cabinet to get it, and the Lord and that scripture come to me. It says, "Husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church." And I thought, great, she's laying in the bed in there. I need that for a snack, man. I got to go to work and blah, 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 blah. You know, I went off all this, and I backed up, and I thought, this might be the way you do it. I thought, this might be it. This might be, I'm looking for a big flash of something, miracle thing to do, and this is probably it. And you know what? I started with that. I left it there, and I did without. I did without that snack, bless God. And I left that in her. I refused to eat that. I thought, I'm going to leave that for her. I don't care if she does sleep all day. Now, she ain't never slept all day, but I'm just saying. I don't know how long she sleeps. I'm going to work. She can sleep till 10. Oh, I better sweep the floor. Well, I've hurt hard today. What have you done? Swept the floor. Well, man, I can clean this whole house in 3 hours. But you know what? That started when I started yielding just that little thing right there. I yielded to it, and I'm telling you what, today I'm at a place to where I want her to have better than me. I mean, I just, it worked that way. It worked it up to where, and the Bible says, y'all wives ain't the boss of your house. If he says you're not driving, then don't drive. Hello? I didn't say that. The Holy Ghost did. If some of y'all's having a problem with that, well, you better deal with it. Yield to the Holy Spirit. If your husband don't really want you to do something, yield. Because he's godly. I'm not talking to the world. We're talking about anointed men of God that are after God, that are praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. They're there to protect you. They're there to, they got a covering for you. And you need to honor that covering. I mean, if they don't cook, fine. I mean, I'm old school. I think every woman ought to have breakfast done. Preacher don't cook breakfast. But I'm still old school. I think supper ought to be done. Now, I might get upset if supper ain't done. I mean, I might really get upset. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get ungodly. But I might just start eating at the restaurant before I get home. Don't cook. I don't care. You don't want to honor me? Well, good. I'll just eat out, and you just eat what you want to. Now, I'm not telling you that that's a doctrine, but I wouldn't get upset if she didn't have supper done. Now, women work, and I'm not saying you got to be led. If the Lord's dealing, whatever God deals with you with, regardless of what you think in your mind, yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him, and it'll bring the fruits of the Spirit into your life. Give me Galatians. Give me Galatians 6, Trevor. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due, don't get weary in yielding to the Holy Spirit. Don't let wearisome of doing good set in, because the reward is on its way. There's a reward on its way. When a husband loves his wife as Christ so loves the church, there's a reward to that. There's benefits that come with that. When a wife is submissive to God, if you're not submitting to God, lady, you can't submit to your husband. Very few women that I've ever seen can submit to their husband unless they're submitted to God. But if you submit to God, you can submit to Him, because you're submitting as unto the Lord, as long as your husband is not trying to lead you away from God or the things of God or your husband. Wives, you know, or husband, if God's called you to do something, you be faithful to it. Called you to do something in the ministry, you be faithful to it. You know, I mean, I went through and, you know, my early years of ministry, and Teresa wouldn't go with me and everything, and I felt like I was accused every time I come home. And that was just out of her ignorance, you know, and all of that, and we're just baby Christians and all of that stuff. But you know what? I hung in there, and it paid off. It paid off. She's one of the best Sunday school teachers that I know, TV or in the natural. She's one of the best. She's got an anointing to teach the Word and minister the Word. But you know what? She labors in it. Left church one time, she said, I said, what is it? That was awful. I said, no. I said, it was good to me. I said, that was good. I said, I sat back there, and I said, I really enjoyed it. I said, it was really good. She said, nah. She said, I know how I feel on the inside. She said, I didn't prepare enough for that sermon. Well, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit telling her, however He's leading her, you know. And me and her do different. I meditate on the Word, and then I'll meditate on it, and then I'll just stop, you know, and I'll look out the window or whatever, and I'm looking on the inside to see what God's wanting to say concerning this right here, scripture that I'm reading, because I don't know. I don't know what you need. And so I'd write down points, you know, and hopefully every one of y'all get a point every sermon. Something sticks out to you every sermon. That's the Holy Spirit bringing fruit to our lives. But you know what? We can go out of here and we can get mad at those people driving out there. We can get mad at our co-workers. We can get mad at our husbands and wives. We can get mad and you know, you verbally abuse kids when you scream and yell at them. You better off to be calm and cool and collected and, you know, and strict. Some people think it's abuse if you're strict. I think it's abuse if you let them go. They're going to end up in drugs and prison. I think love restrains them. Travis told me one time he was 14, 15 years old, and I ain't raised a teenager, Johnny. I was raised by a bunch of teenagers, my brothers and sisters. There were 17 of us, and you didn't mess with them. You just didn't. If they said you ain't getting another biscuit, you better not reach over there to get a biscuit. You'll get hit in the head with an iron skillet. Somebody. And they didn't care if you got hungry. You know. Mom and them all phobia under, you know. And so I got born again, you know, and everything. And I mean, that was my way of thinking. That was my way of thinking, you know. But then the Holy Spirit began to teach me how to calmly deal with issues. You know, be gentle. Don't the Bible say be gentle a while ago? Didn't it say be gentle? Gentle. Sure did. Gentle. It didn't say when it's convenient to us. It didn't say be gentle. Just when everybody's not acting up and your kids are not acting up. You know? I mean, you know, just like with my grandkids, I don't reckon I've ever screamed at them. I don't need to. I don't have to. I can get my point across with a belt. Now, Now, they don't know if Paw tear them up or not. Aiden over there, I don't know, he said something Tuesday night. I don't want to. I said, I know what it was. He in there wouldn't go to sleep, you know. And I went in there. I said, get up on your bunk. He was in there with Aubrey. I don't want to. I said, get up there. Lie down. He got a little blankie. Off of there he come, right on up there, Johnny. I ain't never whipped him. I've never whipped him. I don't have to whip him. And I didn't scream. I just looked at him. I guess Tracy calls it goat eyes. I think it's serious. I just looked at him, and but you know what? We don't tolerate a lot of looseness with them ever out there. We want them to do, and they're going to do what we say. And then when they talk against the parents, we tell them we do not encourage them that way. Aubrey should say, Daddy's just mean, Papa. He's just mean. Nah, Daddy ain't. Daddy loves you. He bought you this and bought you that and buys you this and that and takes you to Wally World. Well, you know, well, Papa. I got to keep her, you know, towards the parents right. Even if he is mean, I'm going to come back with something positive. Well, Dad don't mean no ill will towards you. Dad loves you. That's yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know, we can discipline our kids without being verbally abusing. I mean, if Teresa screamed at me all the time, you stupid, you know, what's wrong with you? Can't you do nothing right? How would that make me feel? You know, I would feel degraded. I mean, I would feel, it would make me, if I let it in, it would make me feel not worth. You know, and I appreciate Teresa because she talks to me. She don't talk to me like I'm stupid. Although I do make stupid choices sometimes. She used to think that she was smarter than me. Now she knows better. It's called place, hallelujah. You know? But he says, for he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that yields to the flesh will reap corruption. But he that yields to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And don't get weary. Give me that last one, Travis. Colossians, I want to get to it. We need to close. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. That word affection there, it says mind. Set your mindset towards the things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, to set your mind on things above. He said, that's not really imagining that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He said, Jesus prayed and said, as it is, Father, I pray that it be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know? And the Lord, he said, see, to be spiritually minded means that you are continually working on your attitude. You're continually working on the anger issues. You're continually working on the leading of the Holy Spirit in issues and things that we deal with. I would have quit the door business if I hadn't yielded to the Holy Spirit in the last 2 years. And you know what? It's got better and better and better. The less that I yielded to the flesh and got mad, the better that it got and the more that God was able to work out and work. And I'm prospering now. I mean, I'm just prospering. I mean, I'm having to work, but I'm prospering. Just prospering. Every time I turn around, I'm just prospering. And you know what? It's not because I got great faith. It's because of yielding to the Holy Spirit in the little issues and little matters that we think. And y'all young kids talking back to your parents? Are you serious? The Bible says, honor your father. That's dishonor. Well, they make me do chores. You ought to already be doing chores. You ought to already be washing the dish. You ought to already. Aubrey come in there the other day and she said, Papa, I got to cook. I said, not right now. I've not got the permission of your parents yet. I need to learn how to cook, Papa. I said, well, Papa going to teach you how to cook? I said, you just stand back over there. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to get some cookies this next Monday or so between. And I'm gonna let her, we've done it before, I'm gonna let her cook a pan of cookies. I'm gonna teach her about the oven hot, the pan's hot. I'm gonna show her by demonstration. I'm not gonna let her get it, but I'm gonna show her. This'll burn you, and he'll be, you know, what? That's godly to me. I'm gonna teach her how to do. And but you know what? Don't talk back to your parents. I don't care how they dishonor you. The Bible don't say, you know, you have a right to talk back to your parents. The Bible says honor your parents with long. It comes with promise. The Bible says. I heard somebody tell me one time, and I'm going to close with this. Well, people ought to honor me. And I said, are you honorable? Or do you think you're anointed of God and everybody ought to honor you that way? Because you're anointed. I said, are you honorable? I said, honor gets honor. I said, pride gets rejected. See, that's why we need to know the scriptures. Who said? Who said, but see, I'd already been through when I put more in the, I put money in the offerings. Every time somebody takes up an offering, me, I put money in there. I'm sowing a seed. You might think it's dumb or not. That's an offering to the Lord. It ain't going, I don't care if it's God or not. He'd liable to tell me to give it away before it ever gets to me. He did it before. But I put more in the offering one time than I got. They stole my offering. All of it. And give me half of what I put in there is all I got. I got $10. I put $20 in there and I got $10. They get took up an offering. They didn't know I put money in there, but I seen right then something. God taught me something. I'm mad all the way back home. Wasn't no cell phones. I'm mad. I can't wait to get home to call this preacher. I'm going to call her and I'm going to tell her, don't you ever deceive God's people again while I'm there. You deceive them while I'm not there, but you told them, let's take up an offering for Brother Scotty. And then you took the offering. You deceived them. That's witchcraft. That's not right. I don't care what your church needs. There's no, you can't do God's people that way and be okay with the Lord. Well, I'm mad. I'm on my way home. You know, and I'm thinking about it, and I get there, and I'm thinking to call her. The Lord said, don't call her. I said, Lord, somebody needs to straighten this woman out. Somebody needs to let her know. Man, you're doing God's people wrong. It's okay to do me wrong. But see, God wouldn't let me do it. I never got to confront that lady with that. But she's dead and I'm not. We're anointed and blessed. And they what? They take up penny. But you know what? The Lord asked me, he said, I thought you didn't preach for money. He said, I thought you would lay your life down for me. I thought, well, I mean, you know. And so I had to learn, you know. I'm not keeping no account of any, 1 Corinthians 13. Love, or the Holy Spirit, keeps no account of the wrong done to them. And you might think it's just for big grown people. No, it's for y'all teenagers. When they do you wrong in school, when they talk about you, when they taunt you, you know, you love them, you pray for them, you forgive them, and you let God build you up, praise God, because you might be the very one that turns around in the end and leads them to the Christ that's in you. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. We just thank you.